You are listening to Sports Day Tour for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Big hour ahead, Shane. We are just about to be joined by our resident tennis expert, one of the leading voices of tennis in this country, Peter Johnston, about what is going on with the Australian Open. And I mean that literally, because I woke up this morning to about three different reports, all very, well, not very different, but certainly it's not as though they were agreeing with each other. And 12 hours later, I am none the wiser as to actually what is happening on January 18 or February 1 or July the 10th, for that matter.
I think a number of experts out there, Sam, are throwing darts at a dartboard at the moment and coming up with dates. I think there is an approximation of a month from the end of January through to mid-Feb. But beyond that, no one really knows at this point.
We're also going to replay our chat up from a little earlier from the AFL Players Association CEO, Paul Marsh. Plenty going on in the Players Association at the moment. And we'll recap our Saints and Swans trade report card as well. And we're also going to a chat. If I said, Shane, we're going to talk to a former Cat and former Lion who's soon to be a Bomber, who would you say? This is like the geography question last week.
That's a... Former Cat and former Lion. Alan Christensen?
Yes, he's going to be a Bomber, but not the type that we're used to. He's going to play for Lauderdale down in Tassie.
No wonder I was
the
confused.
State League, the Lauderdale
Bombers.
You're
completely throwing me. I'm thinking, I didn't think Essendon had gone after Alan Christensen.
A man that cannot be thrown is Peter Johnston, particularly when it comes to tennis. Jonos, we welcome you in. You follow this space closer than Shane and I do, and we do a bit as well. Have you been more confused in the last 24 hours as anything?
Well, Sam, look, it has been difficult to follow, as you say. I've seen, and you're sort of watching the play, because I think the reason we're all watching it so closely now is because it's crunch time. It's really getting so late in the piece to make mammoth decisions. And, you know, you hear a little bit here and a little bit there, so you think, oh, is that the case or not the case? But I know a lot of it has been talked about in the last few days has been the date. And for me, the absolute last thing you're doing is changing the date. And really, it's especially with 5 weeks out before the season, you have to try and do a deal with this whole quarantine situation, because changing the date is just, it's too dramatic.
John, let's talk about the date and moving it, because if, as you say, the date of the Australian Open remains starting January 18. That makes the calendar for 2021 much easier. And you know as well as anyone, as a tournament director of events in St. Petersburg and other locations around the world, you move one event, there is a massive fall of the dominoes going right throughout the entire season. Are you being discussed? Are you on email chains of, if this happens, then your tournament moves here? Or is it really, at this point in time, between Tennis Australia and the Victorian government?
Well, I am trying to follow. The way that both tours have been doing the COVID situation is only releasing dates sort of a couple of months in advance. But that's been obviously because every tournament has to really work out what they're doing with their government before they're committing. And so it's been impossible to create a firm calendar. And but Shane, I think one massive thing with this is, what's driving the tournament and what drives every tournament is the economics. And if you go 1 week later, say with the ESPN contract at Australian Open, which is absolutely massive. I mean, the week after the Australian Open is Super Bowl week. And, okay, ESPN aren't doing the Super Bowl, but they're certainly doing a heck of a lot in the lead-up to Super Bowl. You know, you've got a tournament in Montpellier in France. Well, as you mentioned about the emails, I got an email today talking about their revised prize money. So at the moment, they're not going away. And if you go, say, 2 weeks out, you're suddenly talking with the ATP. There's a great tournament in Rotterdam, which is at an indoor stadium. It's a real fixture in on the European indoor circuit. You've got St. Pete. Have got a women's tournament in a basketball arena, which is, you know, you just can't sort of make these changes. So, look, I'm not saying any of these changes are impossible, but you really have to try and explore everything within your power before you make a day change.
But, Pete, and I said this to Shane earlier in the show, I just got the sense listening to Martin Pakula today that it's changing. You know, like he said, it was more likely to be 1 or 2 weeks back. So, for me, the 1 or 2 weeks, the biggest thing it changes, I would think, is A, when they get here, which is probably already going to be changed anyway because of quarantine, but B, what happens with the TV rights? Like Channel 9 build, as Channel 7 used to do with My Kitchen Rules, Channel 9 build the whole start to the year around the tennis. That's why you pay hundreds of millions of dollars for it, because it gets viewers in and it sucks them in for the rest of the year. That's why these networks pay so much money for live sport. Channel 7 will be the first to tell you, the AFL doesn't make them any money. In fact, it costs them money. It's what it's the audience that it brings in. So yeah, I'm with you. Any date change, whilst it might not look significant on the calendar, it genuinely affects a lot of different areas.
Well, that's right. And when you mentioned about the government input, yeah, I saw that as well. And look, the government is going to actually have the final say with this.
Because yeah, I agree.
About the health and safety. And yeah, but I'm just pointing out there's a heck of a lot of considerations, which you raised. And, you know, there's more of just the logistics of, you know, the Open's so traditionally in holiday period. So say all the courtesy car drivers, they're all school teachers, have to go back to work. You've got four kids who have got to go back to school. They're all doable, and Tennis Australia will leave no stone unturned, but it's really, really difficult. And I think the other thing, which you talk about the date change and talk about does that solve everything from a logistical point of view, you've still got to address the quarantine issue, because let's say a Chinese player, and one player I know really well, Wang Qiang, who Peter McNamara used to coach. She's ranked 28 in the world. Cashy's going to be coaching her over the summer. Well, if she comes out, she has to do the quarantine here under whatever rules. But when she goes back to China, she's got to do 2 weeks of quarantine as well. So, you know, you're starting to weigh all that up, which I think the players are all going to come because they've been starved of being able to play. But they're all considerations, aren't they? You know, if 4 weeks quarantine and I'm not sure if I'm actually playing one tournament, or, you know, so that's why, you know, I think the quarantine is just the one that we need to just be very definitive on, and ASAP, because you can't just go on Trivago or whatever and book a flight to Australia at the moment. They're just not there.
Jono, at the end of the day, the players aren't going to do the same 14-day quarantine. I saw a report saying that the players will arrive on January 7. They'll quarantine till January 21. You're not having 256 players arrive at Melbourne Airport on the same day at the same time doing the exact same quarantine and then have a quarantine release party 14 days later. It's just the logistics suggest that players are going to arrive at different times in any given window.
But so you'd stagger the quarantine though, Shane, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you'd have to.
Yeah. And you're going to have some players who might arrive, say, January 5, and they're going to have a better build-up to the Australian Open because they're going to be released from quarantine,
yeah, I see what you're saying,
earlier than someone who maybe arrives on January 9.
Yep.
That's right. And Shane, also, when you mentioned 256 players, you're pretty much then excluding any qualies, because at the moment, qualies is 128 draw on both. So that's, you know, 512 players. So they're the sort of decisions that need to be made really quick. I'll tell you one thing, and I'm sure the Australian Open is going to go ahead, but it's a massive opportunity for Aussies, isn't it? Because you could be playing matches here, get really battle-hardened prior to the whatever tournament schedule there is in January. And, you know, these players look like they're going to be having, at best, a fairly limited match play opportunity. So, you know, that's one positive out of all of this.
Do you think that players should have to be vaccinated before they come? I know that Andy Murray had some interesting comments about that in the last 12 hours. Do you think players ultimately would support that, Pete?
Yeah, I do, Sam. Look, you know, I think the player group as a whole, and of course you're going to have some that may not be for it, but the game has really hurt over the last 9 or 10 months. You know, the women have played, since the French Open, have played one tournament for $250,000 in Austria, and they've basically had no matches. So, you know, it's their livelihood. So if the price I'm paying is to be vaccinated, I'd say nearly every player's all in if I want to keep playing.
Jono, is this where players like Novak Djokovic, Alexander Zverev, their flippancy around the COVID-19 and getting potentially infected, although Novak already was, that they are in the minority? And I wrote an article earlier in the week just saying that we can't be dictated to by the players, but on the most part, and we heard Rafael Nadal say it, that they're going to be amenable to whatever the rules are laid out for them by the Victorian government.
Absolutely, Shane. I mean, look, you've got to you've got to have a crack. If there's no tennis, there's no jobs. And I think the performance from players over, you know, we've seen more men's than women's since play resumed, but the performance of them, of the player group overall, has been real, you know, like a 95 to 99% compliance. And they've been playing in sort of obscure places, some very tight bubbles, tough conditions, often with no crowds. And, you know, they're doing it. So at some stage, you've got to have a crack and you've got to manage things well. And I would put 100% confidence in Tennis Australia's ability to manage, to make sure that you know, health and safety is totally resourced. So, you know, otherwise we're just going to forget about the game if we don't have a go.
So Nick Kyrgios just comes and wins it whenever it's played then, I guess?
Hey, maybe. I was already trying to set up some matches in Canberra with the boys. But Sam, it does give him an edge, doesn't it? I mean,
I think it has to.
Okay, he hasn't played all through. It does. You know, home ground, it's always when the players arrive from the Northern Hemisphere on a regular year, you know, you see them getting pretty sunburned the first couple of days because they're just not used to the conditions here. So, yeah, look, I'd love to see some sort of Australian matches sort of spring up, which I'm sure they ultimately will. And look, the other thing I'd love to see is, I'd love another state to put their hand up and say, hey, look, we'll quarantine in, like what the cricketers are doing in Sydney. We'll quarantine them all in Sydney for the first 2 weeks of December. Players can come out, and then after that, we'll run some matches until they come down to the Open. I know you have to have a guarantee that if there's a cluster, they've got to be able to get out of there, but I think that's all the negotiation, which all of this is.
Jono, is there a better location in Australia than Homebush where there is accommodation? There's the Sydney Tennis Centre out there where they're usually playing the Sydney International and some ATP Cup. You quarantine players out in that neck of the woods. They can use the Tennis Centre. I'm totally with you. And it's the same in Brisbane. I mean, they won't be using that Brisbane Tennis Centre for the reason there won't be an ATP Cup nor a Brisbane International early on. So these facilities are available. It's not like they're sacrificing another event.
That's right. And you have to go with those sort of facilities, Shane, because you've got the number of courts. But you can certainly bubbleise them, if that's even a word. But, I mean, you know, get that job done because, as you said earlier, everyone's not going to be able to jump on a flight on January 1 or January 2. You know, I mean, so if they could come in December, and all these borders are opening right now, come in December, play at Homebush or at Tennyson in Brisbane, respect the quarantine, do that. Then you could play a bunch of matches before you're coming down to Melbourne. And again, you've explored that option before you've explored a date change from day one being January 18.
Pete, great to have you on.
Thanks, guys.
Peter Johnston there, our resident tennis expert. For Australian made, you can shop authentic Aussie products. Choose Australian made. And remember, another warm day today. Being prepared for a fire could save your life. Download the Vic Emergency app at emergency.vic.gov.au.